Please stand. Our service for this morning begins on page 15. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. At this time, I'll direct you to your propers insert as we speak together the introit half verse by half verse. I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever. Blessed are the people who know the festal shout. Who exalt in your name all the day. For you are the glory of their strength. For our shield belongs to the Lord. Glory be to the Father. I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever. Thank you.
today is it's found on your Proverbs insert.
Let us pray. Almighty God, by the working of your Holy Spirit, grant that we may gladly hear your word proclaimed among us and follow its directing. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the readings. The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday after Pentecost comes from Jeremiah, chapter 28. Then the prophet Jeremiah spoke to Hananiah the prophet in the presence of the priests and all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, "Amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord make the words that you have prophesied come true and bring back to this place from Babylon the vessels of the house of the Lord, and all the exiles. Yet hear now this word that I speak in your hearing, and in the hearing of all the people. The prophets who preceded you, and me, from ancient times, prophesied war, famine, and pestilence against many countries and great kingdoms. As for the prophet who prophesies peace, when the word of that prophet comes to pass, then it will be known that the Lord has truly sent the prophet." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. At this time, I will direct you once again to your small catechism insert. Today, we begin anew our confession on confession. What is the office of the keys?
The office of the keys is that special authority which Christ has given to his church on earth to forgive the sins of repentant sinners, but to withhold forgiveness from the unrepentant as long as they do not repent.
Where is this written?
This is what St. John the Evangelist writes in chapter 20. The Lord Jesus breathed on his disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven."
What do you believe according to these words?
I believe that when the called ministers of Christ deal with us by his divine command, in particular, when they exclude openly unrepentant sinners from the Christian congregation, and absolve those who repent of their sins and want to do better, this is just as valid and certain, even in heaven, as if Christ our dear Lord dealt with us himself.
The epistle comes from Romans, chapter 7. Do you not know, brothers, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person only as long as he lives? Thus, a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, and if she marries another man, she is not an adulteress. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve not under the old written code, but in the new life of the Spirit. What then shall we say? That the law is sin? By no means. Yet, if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. I would not have known what it is to covet, if the law had not said, "You shall not covet." But sin,
seizing an opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. Apart from the law, sin lies dead. I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin came alive, and I died. The very commandment that promised life proved to be death to me. For sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me, and through it killed me. So, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and righteous, and good. Did that which is good, then, bring death to me? By no means. It was sin, producing death in me through what is good, in order that sin might be shown to be sin, and through the commandment might become sinful beyond measure. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 10th chapter. Jesus said, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet, because he is a prophet, will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward." This is the Gospel of the Lord. At this time, I'll direct your attention back to page 22 as we confess together our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated for our next hymn. Thank you. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. There is a great deal of conflict in our world. Have you noticed? I think if any of us have turned on the news in the last several months at all, we will have seen some kind of conflict. And certainly right now we know there's a great deal of civil unrest in our country and things of that nature, but if we're really honest with ourselves, there has always been a great deal of conflict, even throughout human history. Right? Violence, hatred, death, conflict. It's what we've grown to expect from the world. And certainly, it's not just an arm's length away. The conflict then spills over into our own lives. Sometimes there are two families that are at odds with each other. Sometimes within our own families, we are at odds with each other. Neighbors will have conflict. Even friends will have conflict from time to time. And as Christians, we can't help but think to ourselves, well, Jesus, didn't you come to stop all this? Didn't you come to put an end to the conflict? At Christmas time, don't we call Jesus the Prince of Peace? Where's the peace? Because all I see is conflict. The truth is that we like peace. Peace is safe. Peace is comfortable. And even if it's just a fleeting peace, you know, it's only for like a few weeks. We still want it. Even if it's only like for a few days or really, honestly, even if it's only for a few moments, we want to have peace. And so we try to manufacture it. We try to create it. We get ourselves this sort of synthetic peace that isn't quite like the real thing. Right? We all know how this works. Parents will hear their kids fighting in the other room, and all they say is, hey, quiet down, instead of actually going to find out what the argument's about. But you just go, well, if I can't hear it, there is no argument anymore. As long as the kids just aren't speaking, it's okay. Or maybe worse is when parents fight in front of their children, and the children don't know what to do or what to say except to leave the room. Or how many of you are non-confrontational? Anybody non-confrontational in here? Sometimes I can be. It depends on the topic. But the truth is that for the non-confrontational folks, you might find yourself in one of those conversations that's, you know, you don't really know how the other person feels. And all of a sudden this conversation starts to embark upon itself and you kind of feel things get intense. Right? We've all been there too. And so what do you do? Well, if you're non-confrontational, you make a quick exit, right? I don't want to have anything to do with that. Or maybe another one, too, is when there are people who obviously have a broken relationship, and the way that they deal with that broken relationship is to not deal with it at all. So they just pretend like it's not broken. And everybody else in the room can feel how awkward it is because everybody knows. So we're all tiptoeing around. And especially in my own past, and maybe you've experienced this, too, is with family members. We don't always agree with family. And when there's a conflict in the family, what we really like to do is we like to agree to disagree so as not to cause conflict. And yet there's always that sort of nagging voice in the back of your mind whenever you're with them because you know that you don't agree. Do any of these things sound like peace to you? Honestly, it sounds a whole lot like brushing our problems under a rug. It doesn't sound like peace at all. We pretend it brings us peace, but it's not actually true. These are all our feeble attempts to create a synthetic peace that just doesn't last. But we want that moment. We want that day. We want that week. But shouldn't we be looking beyond that into eternity? Of course, we can turn to the scriptures for help, right? All right, we want peace in the world. Here we go. What does Jesus say? Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. Thanks a lot for that one, Jesus. What does he say? I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. So much for Prince of Peace, right? But before we go on thinking that Jesus is contributing to the conflict and our lack of peace in our world, let's hear what this sword is all about. He says, whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He says, whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. It means that Jesus doesn't rejoice in the division. He doesn't rejoice in the conflict. But he forces us to recognize a very important reality. The truth is offensive. And sometimes we must endure conflict in order to make it to true peace. That sword that Jesus brings, it literally, its job is to cut through the false peace that we try to manufacture and bring something that will last. Peace between us and God. Peace amongst believers as we gather around God's word. The sad reality is that it might cause conflict between close friends, between family members. Yes, taking a stand does bring a sword. You can be certain. But it's your cross to bear if you want eternal peace, real peace, peace that only Jesus can bring. This is why Christians take their stand on God's word. And honestly, when you do, recognize it won't be popular. You know, go ahead, log into Facebook or whatever, you know, social media you want, or you know, call a sin a sin. Call someone out for doing something wrong, and you can be certain there's going to be a firestorm afterward. Go ahead, tell people that life starts at conception and that God is the one who gives it, and then tell them that life should reach its natural end and that God is the one who takes it. You'll find division. Tell someone, you know, since we are in Homosexual Pride Month, tell someone that homosexuality is a sin. And just wait to see what happens, because I promise it will bring a sword. Or this is one of the other ones that we're facing in our culture now too. Tell someone that sex is to be enjoyed in the context of marriage. These aren't things that people like to talk about. These are reasons that Christians get scoffed at, that Christians get lambasted across the internet, because honestly, if you make any assertion about absolute right or absolute wrong, you cause conflict. Our world is comfortable with its lies. Our world is comfortable thinking that they have found peace in these things. And the sad reality is, sometimes the world convinces us to be comfortable in them too. That's not how it's supposed to be. We know that's not how it's supposed to be. We know that these things destroy our relationship with God, and they destroy our relationship with everyone around us. Sometimes we speak when we should be silent, and sometimes we're silent when we should speak. Because it's comfortable. Because we've convinced ourselves that's what brings peace. But when it all boils down to the facts, there is one reality from Jesus' words. There is no peace. Not in this world. You won't find it in society. You can't manufacture it on your own. There is no peace when it comes to your own ability. And this is what God knew when he sent his son into the world. Jesus says, whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. When we realize how deep that cuts into us, because we don't want to bear the cross, but we see Jesus doing it for us. We see God's love, and we see how much he loves us, and he loves us so dearly that he will not let us stay in a false peace. And so he makes peace for you. A sword that cuts, Jesus was cut. A spear thrust into his side to make sure that he was dead on the cross. Nails pierced through his hands and through his feet. A crown of thorns on his head. Jesus was cut so that he could shed his blood for you. So that you could be forgiven. So that you could have peace with God, a lasting peace. Jesus was forsaken. On the cross, he had no peace. That way you could. He gives you real peace. And this is what the supper is all about. Depart in peace. That's the words that we hear after we receive the very body and blood of Christ on our tongue. Why? Because that's the only place we can find it in this world. It is in the crucified and risen Jesus Christ. And if you look anywhere else, you're looking in the wrong place. But my friends, it's good news for you. Because you're here. You're here to hear about the wonderful things that Jesus has accomplished for you and to receive him in your mouth. To strengthen your faith for the days to come, because my friends, we're not out of this yet. Throughout our lives, next coming months, who knows what the world's going to throw at us, but I can tell you what, it's not going to be peace. But that's what the Lord brings you in this place. So, when the false peace rears its ugly head to try to deceive you and to believing you can find some rest there, remember that Jesus brings peace. And in that, he will set you free. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near to the Lord's throne of grace and pray as he has commanded us, trusting in the Lord to hear the prayers of his people and answer our petitions according to his mercy. O Lord, rule and govern your church and all her pastors and ministers, that she may be preserved in the pure doctrine of your saving word, defended against all adversity, and protected from all adversaries, that thereby faith may be strengthened and love increased in us. Lord, in your mercy, grant health, O Lord, wisdom and integrity to all in authority over us, especially to the President of the United States, the Governor of our state, the Congress, all legislative bodies, and all judges and magistrates. Endow them with your spirit, and with respect for your word, that they would serve your good pleasure for the maintenance of righteousness and the punishment of wickedness, so that all may lead a quiet and peaceful life. According to your gracious will, turn the hearts of our enemies and make them to walk with us in humility and peace. Lord, in your mercy, grant to those in trouble, want, sickness, anguish of labor, peril of death, or any other adversity, the healthful spirit of your grace for healing, strength, comfort, and relief. Bless especially those who suffer for the sake of your name and your word. Hear us on behalf of those we remember in our hearts. Give them courage to stand firm in their afflictions and patience until the day of your deliverance. Lord, in your mercy, preserve us from pestilence and every evil. Give to us favorable weather and cause the fruits of the earth to prosper, that we may enjoy them in due season and offer you praise and thanksgiving for all your goodness to us. Lend your blessing to all honorable vocations and honest industry, that we may serve where our skills and abilities may be of good use. Bless the arts and music, that we may please you and be encouraged by all that is good, right, true, and beautiful. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. Give to all husbands and wives grace to live together in love and faithfulness. Bless the homes and families of your people, that they may be places where your name is honored and love is nurtured. Give your special grace to the widowed, the orphan, all mothers with child, the aged and the infirm, that we may grant them comfort, aid, and protection. Lord, in your mercy. All these things for which you would have us ask of you, we pray you to grant to us for the sake of the bitter sufferings and death of Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we are bold to call you Father, and in whose name we pray, trusting in your mercy and confident that you will give answer to our prayers. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our service continues on page 24. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty everlasting God, because thou didst mightily govern and protect thy holy church, which the blessed apostles and evangelists instructed in thy divine and saving truth, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it all. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Christ, both strengthen and preserve you in body and soul, unto life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven. Amen.
Thank you.
body and true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will strengthen and preserve you in body and soul into life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven. Amen.
Our service continues on page 29. Please stand. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. O God the Father, fountain source of all goodness, who in loving kindness did send thine only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank thee that for his sake thou hast given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we beseech thee not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Please be seated for the closing hymn, number 410.
We do have one last thing to do today. If you'll take out your small catechism insert one last time, we will confess together our monthly Bible verse, which comes from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10.
For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk